All right, Joel said, let's begin. So we're going to do a beautiful piece tonight by Rabbi Nachman. So again, we begin with the pasuk on top, where it says, A, Vayomer Melech Mitzrayim Lamialdos HaIvrios, and the king of Egypt, the king of Mitzrayim, said to the Jewish, or to the Ivri, midwives, thank you, Asher Shema Acha Shifra V'Shem HaShem Nispua. One of them was named Shifra, one of them was named Pua. So of course, again, this is the narrative in the parasha where Paro tries to convince the midwives that when they are delivering a baby, if they see that it's a boy, Kalabein Hayilot Hayorat Ashlichu, any boy that is born, ultimately again, should be thrown into the Nava, Chalabas Tichayun, and any daughter you could leave alive. So Rashi points out over here, so again, when you look at this at first glance, it's a very strange piece of information. For one simple reason, which is, you know, the Torah doesn't usually just tell us the names of random people. So I understand Paro's telling the midwives that they have to go ahead and kill the baby boys. And I also understand that at the end of the day, the midwives are refusing the order. But why the need to identify the names of the midwives, especially given the fact that we don't even recognize these names? We don't even know who this is. So Rashi HaKadosh points out, if you look in paragraph E, so Rashi says, I'm sorry, it's a little bit out of order over here. Paragraph E. So Rashi says, Shifra Ziyochevet. So who is Shifra? Shifra was Yocheved. Why was she called Shifra? Al Shem Shemishaperes Asavlad. Ultimately, again, because she would beautify the baby. It was her job after the baby was born to go ahead and beautify, to clean up the baby, beautify the baby. That was Yocheved. Pua Zun Miriam. Who's Pua? That's Miriam. Al Shem Shepua Umidaberes Vahogel of Vlad. Because she would go and literally coo. And go ahead and speak with the baby. Like a woman has the ability to soothe a baby when the baby's crying. That's what Pua did. So therefore, Rashi HaKadosh explains that the reason why the Torah goes out of the way to identify these two individuals is because they're no ordinary individuals, but rather, again, it's none other than Miriam and Yocheved. And they're given these names, ultimately, again, of Shifra and Pua, as these are descriptive names detailing and describing their midwifery, right? Detailing and describing their role as midwives. Okay, so go turn back the pages on to paragraph C. So Rabbi Nachman here has an exceptionally beautiful insight and a deeper message in all of this. Now, the truth is, just understand, on a pashup shot, so why is this information included? So the information is included on a very simple level to teach us the yisod. Moshe Rabbeinu is a man who is going to exhibit selfless dedication to Klal Yisrael. So you may wonder to yourself, where does a person get that level of selfless dedication? And the answer is, from his mishpacha. From his mother, from his older sister, he grows up in a home of incredible mesiras nefesh. He grows up in a home of incredible self-sacrifice and incredible giving to the collective. And therefore, again, he himself is able to embody those very same traits. According to Rashi, the Pashup Pshat, the Torah goes out of its way to tell us this genealogical information to kind of give us a window into the home of Moshe Rabbeinu, into the family of Moshe Rabbeinu, and to understand that mesiras nefesh, self-sacrifice for the klal, for the collective, was something that was embedded in his familial DNA. Rabbi Nachman sees an additional lesson. Take a look, paragraph C. Vayomer Melech Mitzrayim Lamialdos HaIvrios Asher Shema Achal Shifra V'Shem HaShem Nispua, writes the Rebbe, Mialdos HaIvrios. So the Rebbe sees over here, of course, something very beautiful, which is, what does it mean that there's a reference over here to the Jewish midwives? Who are the midwives? Ze Bechinas Tzadike Hadar She'oskim Laholid b'Yisrael tolados kedoshos. So the Rebbe here says something very beautiful. He says, the midwives in this pasuk is also a reference to the Gedoli Yisrael, to the leaders of the generation. Just like it's the job of the midwife, ultimately, again, to assist the woman in bringing life into this world, it's the job of the midwife, ultimately, to usher in life, to usher in the baby. So too, it's the job of Gedoli Yisrael, it's the job of the manning, it's the job of the Jewish leader, to ultimately go ahead and also help to birth the potential of Klal Yisrael. So literally, the leader, the manning, is a midwife. Midwife helps the woman in birth, and the job of the manning is to birth the potential of the Klal. So this is quite beautiful. He says, She'oskim laholid b'Yisrael, told those kedoshos, it's the job of the manig, it's the job of the leader, the tzaddik hador, to go ahead and help birth Klal Yisrael. What is it that he's birthing? Shem Torah, u'maisin tovim. Ultimately, again, it's his job to birth kedusha within Klal Yisrael. And what's the definition, ultimately, again, of this kedusha? How does this kedusha manifest itself? Through Torah, through maisin tovim. Ki ikir toldosein shel tzadikim, hu ma'asim, turn the page, hu ma'asim, and it's paragraph F, I'm sorry, the lettering is all over the place, shu ma'asim tovim, kimo shom rabbasinu zal, so we'll say, so this is actually quite amazing. So the Rebbe says over here, so before we even read it back into the pasuk, the Rebbe just says, by the way, this whole discussion and all of this time spent on the midwives is also because this contains a lesson, or this contains a message, not only for the Egyptian narrative, but it contains ultimately, again, a deeper message, ultimately for future leaders as well. That it is the job of the leader, it's the job of the manhig, to birth the potential of the klal. Meaning, what is the responsibility of leadership? And I will say, by the way, when we speak about leadership, this is not just leadership of the nation. All of us, you know, every person occupies leadership in some way. One person might occupy a position of leadership in his workplace. Another person might occupy a position of leadership in the community. A person might occupy a position of leadership in his family. What's the job as a leader? What's the job as a leader? The job as a leader is to help people birth their potential. The leader is a midwife. Which I will say, by the way, when you think about it like that, people sometimes think like the job of a leader is to get everybody to work towards their success. Or the job of a leader, ultimately, again, is to be the boss. If the leader wants to be successful, he has to enable others to self-actualize as well. He has to enable others, ultimately, again, to birth their potential as well. That's the job of the leader. Therefore, says Rabbi Vizeo, this is the message in the Pasuk. So we'll say the obvious question then becomes what? Now then, the job of the leader is to be the midwife, is to help birth the potential of the klal. So the next question, of course, is how? So how does that occur? How does one do that? So the Rebbe says, Vam Rabbi Sinuzal, Shifra Shemishaperes Avlad, Pua Shepoa Umidaberes Vahogal Avlad. So the Rebbe says, this is why the Torah goes out of its way to tell us the names of the midwives. Because contained in the names of the midwives is the very secret to helping to go ahead and actualize the potential in others. How so? So again, remember, there are two midwives. There's Shifra, who beautifies the Vlad, who beautifies the baby, cleans up the baby, beautifies it. And there's Pua, who coos and who speaks, sings, appeases the baby, soothes the baby. Hainu, get ready for this. Hainu b'china haniskalel. Masha tzadikim mechaskim es Yisrael al yedei hadrochem hakedushim haniskalel u'mishaprim osam al yedei shemotzim bahem gam ato nekudos tovos. So the Rebbe says something so beautiful. He says, how does a manhig, how does the leader help his constituents, help his flock self-actualize? So the first thing is, he has to be a shifra. People say, what did Shifra do? So Rashi says, Ashim Shemishaperes Asavlad. You know, when the baby's born, so again, when the baby's born, the baby's not that attractive, right? The baby's covered in schmutz, and the color's a little bit off. What's the job of the midwife? The job of the midwife is to go ahead and clean up the baby. To clean off the schmutz, and to ultimately, again, allow the radiant beauty of the baby to shine forth. Says the Rebbe, that's the job of a manik. The job of the leader ultimately is to do the same thing, to go ahead and mechaskim mishaprim osam al yidei shemotzim bahem gam atin nekudos tovos. But the job of the manhig is to look past the schmutz and to be able to see the radiant beauty that each of his flock possesses. See, I will say, sometimes in life, we don't look all that great on the outside. Sometimes in life, again, we're covered by multiple layers of impurity, by multiple layers of schmutz, right? By multiple layers of all this stuff. But the difference is, even though I don't look so great on the outside, there's so much beauty, there's so much holiness on my inside. Somebody just has to wipe the schmutz away. And once the schmutz is wiped away, then the radiant, luminescent, spiritual, holy beauty ultimately shines forth. Therefore, says the Rebbe, this is the job of the manik. The job of the manik, the job of the leader, is to go ahead and clean up the baby. The job of the leader is to wipe away the schmutz, to remove the impurities, and more than that, to see past the impurities. To be able to see that which is, to see, be able to see past. past, that which is dirty, that which is unclean, that which is soiled and sullied, and to be able to see the luminescent beauty that lurks beneath. Shezel bechinas hinoch yafa rayosi k'mosh pirush Hashisham. V'zeu bechinas shifra shemeshaperes asavlad. So we'll say for the manig, to help his constituency, to help his flock self-actualize, step number one is that he has to be a shifra. He has to be the kind of person who's A, number one, able to see past the schmutz, to be able to see the beauty, and B, able to help clean up and clear away the schmutz. Paragraph G. Vezel bechinas pua. Bo'avos, he also has to be a pua. So what's a pua? Shepoa vahogo mudabaris levlad, kedar shemefaisin tinok, that he has to know how to coo and how to speak to the little baby in the same way that the midwife knows how to soothe the crying baby. He says so beautifully, Ki kenhu mamish iske ha-tzadikim im Yisrael. This is mamish the job of the tzadikim with Klal Yisrael. Shepoen vahogin umendabrini mohem. That literally, again, what does the tzadik do? The tzadik talks to, the tzadik calms, the tzadik soothes, and the tzaddik knows the right words to be able to put the crying child at ease. B'sharkin, u'metzavtzefin, u'meramzin elehem, l'chaskam, l'oruram, l'agbiyam, u'laharimam, mikomine nefilos v'yiridos, v'ashlach o'shalem. We'll say, what does the tzaddik know? What does Pua do? Pua uses her koach adibur, she uses her words, she uses her voice to be able to calm, to soothe, to lift up the other. What does the tzaddik have to do? The tzaddik has to know how to talk to another person. The tzaddik has to know the right words to use at the right time. The tzaddik has to know what words of encouragement, what words of chizuk, and yes, at times, what words of musar or what words of rebuke are ultimately necessary for this individual to hear. The tzaddik knows how to use his words to lift up the broken individual, even from the midst of the greatest difficulties and suffering. She yizarzu b'chol yomu v'chol eis. The tzaddik uses his words like a pua to go ahead and be mezarez, to ultimately give chizuk, lis'ore mechadash v'avodas Hashem b'chol ma sheyuchlu lachtov. Ultimately, again, the tzaddik uses his words to encourage, to inspire, to lift up, and to ultimately remind the person that he or she could be more than they currently think they can. Reminds them that every single day you could start again. Every single day you could lift yourself up. Every single day you could change your reality. That's the job of the tzaddik. V'mamish kiderech shemefaisim tino kaboche. And I'm also, here's the amazing part. This is the same way that the midwife soothes the little baby who's in a state of distress by talking to the baby, by singing to the baby, by saying reassuring words to the baby. That's what the tzaddik does with the klal as well. The tzaddik simply uses his words to inspire, uses his words to soothe, uses his words to instill confidence in order to lift the individual up. V'advarim muchanim, paragraph H, v'advarim muchanim, muvanim, excuse me, l'chol echad, l'mi sheyodeh rachmanos ha-tzadike emes alinu, asher al yadam Hashem yisparach mechazek, u'menachem osanu, bevirchinas ki ish asher imo tinachamenu, kein anochi anachemchem. And the Rebbe says, anyone who knows the power of the tzaddik ultimately, again, understands this dynamic. So we'll say, if we try to tie this together for just a moment, what we have over here is as follows. According to the Rebbe feels that the reason the Torah HaKadosha goes into such great detail regarding the midwives is because the midwives serve as, it's interesting, the midwives serve as a model for future leadership. We'll say, isn't it amazing how it's from two midwives whose real names aren't even used that the Rebbe says the Torah is giving us what true leadership means? Interestingly enough, although of course we learn elements of leadership from the Avos and the Imos, but of course the Avos and Imos led families. They didn't lead a nation. Moshe, we learn lessons from Moshe Rabbeinu, absolutely from Yehoshua, from David, from Shlomo. But if you think about it, who were the first people who really exhibited leadership for the klal? The Rebbe posits, for the klal, for the collective. The truth is, probably the real answer to that is Yosef, because he exhibited, but who was the first person to exhibit what we'll call Jewish leadership, sole Jewish leadership? And that would be, apparently, according to the Rebbe, Shifra and Pua. Shifra and Pua were the first leaders. And says the Rebbe, from them we learn what the tzaddik hador, what the leader of the generation has to do. What's his job? His job, so first of all, the major job ultimately is to help his constituency actualize their potential. The job of a manig is to help the people who he leads become great, find their inner potential, actualize their inner potential. How do you accomplish that? The Rebbe posits Shifra and Pua. Number one, Shifra cleaned up the babies. You have to see past the schmutz. If you look at someone else and all you see are their mistakes, you look at someone else and all you see are their deficiencies, you can't be a manik. But if you're able to see past the schmutz and you're able to see the beauty, you're able to see the good, then ultimately again you could see the beautiful luminescent holiness that resides beneath all of the schmutz. That's a manik, that's a Shifra. And you have to be a poor. You have to know how to use your words ultimately to be mechazik the other, how to use your words to lift up the other, how to use your words to sue the other. We'll say, you know, sometimes, you know, we live in a society where all too often words are used to deconstruct, words are used to destroy, words are used to delegitimize. That's not how the Yid uses his words. That's not how the Yid uses his mouth. The Jew uses his koach hadibur to lift up, to build up. The Jew uses his koach hadibur as a pua. I'm going to use my words to encourage. I'm going to use my words to instill confidence. I'm going to use my words to soothe. And also I think, and we'll end with this, I think the Rebbe's Vart is not just a din in leadership. I think the Rebbe's Vart is also a din in just even how... like, how do we look at ourselves? Leaving aside the tzaddik hadar, the Rebbe is using this as an example for the leader of the generation. But even aside from the leader of the generation, ultimately, again, how is it that we look at ourselves? So, number one, the Rebbe teaches us that I have to recognize that I have incredible potential that I haven't actualized. I have incredible potential that I have not even begun to tap into. I have deep reservoirs of incredible abilities, and I have not yet even begun to skim the surface on it. So that's realization number one. So how do I actualize it? So I think the same message that the Rebbe gave for the tzaddik is the same message for us as well. We'll say, when I look at myself, sometimes, unfortunately, when we look at ourselves, all we see is the schmutz. When we look at ourselves, all we see are, you know, the litany of mistakes, the lifetime of wrong turns, every single bad choice that I've made. That's when I look in the mirror. So many of us just see all the stuff that's broken. But I say, when looking at ourselves, we have to see beyond the schmutz. When looking beyond ourselves, we have to see, okay, there might be some negative residue that lingers out on the outside of my externality, but I have to learn to see past it. And more importantly, I have to learn to clean it up. But I'll say, if there's a mess that I've made, clean it up. Clean it up. Don't let it define you. Figure out how to rectify it. Figure out how to fix it. Figure out, ultimately, again, what needs to be done in order to go ahead and make it better. But most importantly, see past it. See past it. Don't let your mistakes define you. Recognize that no matter how many mistakes I may have made, there's so much goodness, there's so much beauty, there's so much holiness that lurks within. And number two, I have to be a pua. That's so. Step number one of self-actualization is seeing the good in myself. I have to see that I'm good. I have to see that I'm healing. I have to see that I'm important. Step number two is pua. We'll say that I have to learn ultimately again how to be mechazik myself. But sometimes in life we have to remind ourselves, yes, I can. Yes, I can. Yes, I have the ability to accomplish my objectives. Yes, I have the ability to not only dream, but to actualize that dream. Because we'll say, you know, sometimes, you know, it's nice to think that the people in our lives give us the right kind of chizuk. But the truth is, we all know that when it comes down to it, you can't really, it's going to sound like a very negative statement, but I don't mean it's not very negative. You can't really rely on anyone for anything. Meaning, at the end of the day, if you want to move forward in life, you have to only rely on yourself and on the Ribono Shel Olam. If other people help you in the accomplishment of your objectives, that's gravy. That's fantastic. Matovu manoim. But at the end of the day, ein hadavar taloi ela bi. Right? At the end of the day, if I want something in life, want to accomplish something in life, it's wholly, fully, and pretty much solely dependent on me. So there are times in life that I need chizuk. There are times in life that I'm feeling down on myself, I'm not feeling good, I'm not feeling confident. So sometimes I wait for someone else to give me chizuk. But the problem is, if you wait for other people to do anything, you can spend a lifetime waiting. So instead, what happens? I have to become my own pua. I have to become my own pua. Sometimes I just have to give myself those words of chizuk. Sometimes I have to be mezareis myself. I have to instill optimism and hope in myself. I have to remind myself that if I dream it, I can do it. I have to remind myself that if I want it, I can make it happen. I have to remind myself that if I put my mind to whatever it is that I want to accomplish, I will get there. You know, not always in the way that I thought I would, not always in the time frame I thought I would, but I'll get there. And I will say, that's the message that Rebbe is teaching us. We all have potential that needs to be actualized. We all have incredible holiness that resides within. And the secret to activating it, Rebbe Osei, is the two-pronged process. To number one, actualize our identity as a shifra, to see beyond the shmutz, to activate our identity as a pua, to ultimately give ourselves the chizuk even when others won't, to remind ourselves, to instill ourselves with confidence, with hope, that we could accomplish all we put our mind to. Shkoyach.
That's also, so he's explaining why, he's saying why he did the name.